Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, September the 13th. Friday the 13th in 2013. I hope you're having a good Friday the 13th. Great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. We thank you for choosing our program. We're live Monday through Friday, 12:04 to 1. On AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make the program available for you. You can listen to the program anytime, anywhere in the world by listening to buckmastershow.com. We also podcast to tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with the mayor of the city of Mesa, Arizona, Scott Smith. Mayor Smith is now leading the nation's mayors as president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Joining me to question Mayor Smith, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Linda Valdez, joining me also in studio, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. If you have a question or comment, you can join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. You can find us very easily on Facebook. It's basically my name, Bill Buckmaster. Well, this summer, Mesa Mayor Scott Smith was sworn in as the 71st president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and that is a nonpartisan organization of cities with populations of 30,000 or more. There are 1,210 such cities in the country. We welcome now the Mesa Mayor, Scott Smith, to the show. Mayor, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing great. I'm a little worried, though. If this is the intelligent voice, you've obviously lowered your standards by having me on. So I'm concerned about that.
Well, let me welcome you, and let me also welcome Linda and Sarah. Ladies, thank
nice
you for being
here.
With us.
Nice to be
Thanks
here.
Thanks a lot. Mayor, what's the number one issue facing the cities? I'm going to take a guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Would you say it is the economic health of America's cities?
You know, it's you're almost there. It's the economic health of our citizens, because that's the thing that drives the economic health of cities. You know, there are other things like what state legislatures do to us and what Washington does to us. But primarily, mayors are still the ones that are screaming about jobs and job growth. And it's unfortunate that it seems like we're almost now a voice in the wilderness. It seems like most other people have been distracted, but mayors are still looking at their cities and recognizing that this recession, while it technically may be over, the recovery is slow, it's long, and it's still painful.
Well, you know, we hear so much about the city of Detroit and all the financial problems in Detroit. We hear about the California cities. The list seems to be growing of those particular municipalities that have financial problems right now. Are those cities anomalies, or what's the general health of America's cities?
America's cities are all struggling to a degree, but those are outliers. Detroit was a very unique situation that you're not going to see around a whole lot. The cities in California, I think California as a whole has some real issues, and that's both a state issue and a local issue. But for the most part, America's cities are getting by. I would say that very few cities are dancing in the daisies and jumping up and down. But we're paying our bills, we're balancing our budgets, and we're maintaining a level of service that I think is serves our citizens and keeps the fire trucks rolling and the garbage picked up. And that's a real success story, not only in the America, but in American politics.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson, Mayor, with the Arizona Daily Star.
Hello, Mayor. I wanted
Hi,
to...
Sarah.
One thing that has seemed to be running through politics at the federal level, certainly, and then at the state level is ideology. And are you following kind of the party line, especially within some facets of the Republican Party? I wanted to know, in your experience as mayor and then also with the organization, with all the other mayors in cities and towns, is there something different at being involved in politics and public policy at the local level versus the rather kind of highbrow politics ideology at maybe the state or federal level?
There's a very different world that we live in, and that's what I love about municipal government. We're U.S. Conference of Mayors is officially a nonpartisan organization, and most of the positions we take are nonpartisan nature. There's no doubt we're filled with partisan people, but you can get in a room at the U.S. Conference, and although it's very heavily weighted Democratic, I'm in the minority as a Republican mayor. Probably about 65% of our members are Democratic, but we talk about city issues. I like to say that at the municipal level, what happens is since you're dealing with solving problems, you don't have time to dabble in ideology. At a city council, usually, now there are exceptions, but usually you'll start debating a problem and how to solve a problem, and philosophies and ideologies will come out during the discussion and finding solutions. At the legislature, it seems that you start arguing ideologies and maybe a problem may come up. And it's a very different atmosphere, and I think that's one reason why cities have been able to deal with the problems that we have. Most cities have to balance their budget. They don't debate about whether they want to. They have to. And they have to pick up garbage on Thursday, and they have to answer 911 calls when people pick up the phone and have an emergency. And so we're forced to deal with problems that at other levels of the government they seem to kick down the road because they can play debate society.
Mayor, here is Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Hi, Mayor. How are you?
Hi, Linda. Doing great.
Good. As I'm sure you know, the Goldwater Institute has filed suit to stop the Medicaid expansion. This is something that the hospitals were really supportive of because they're concerned about the costs of uncompensated care. I'm wondering what the impact of cities on cities would be, and what your perspective is on that if they succeed in blocking the expansion of Medicaid.
Well, whether they block it or don't block it, the cities, and this is something that most people don't realize, play a major role in healthcare delivery in this nation. We in essence have a national health care plan right now. It's called, when you have a medical problem, you pick up the phone and you call 911. And the city of Mesa, in my case, or the city of Tucson, or wherever it is, usually sends a $750,000 fire apparatus out with four highly trained paramedics to come out, and in 85% of the cases of our medical calls, they're non-life-threatening calls. So we're basically have become the primary care physician. Since we can't actually provide medical services, what do? We end up calling an ambulance, and the ambulance takes the person to the emergency room, or we refer them to the emergency room, and that person goes in there and sits in there. And if they don't pay, then we have tried to deliver medical services in the most inefficient, expensive way that we possibly can. And that shows how broken our system is. Anything we can do, and we've done some things in Mesa especially, to try and change that model where we're not sending out our professionals to handle what are routine medical things. We have things called transitional response vehicles where we actually send out a truck that looks like an ambulance with a physician's assistant on board. And the idea is to keep the person, give them medical service, keep them out of the emergency room, and go on. But that's a very limited basis. Cities are impacted no matter what happens on the level. The more that we can have people covered inside a formal system, the better we offer cities. Because if they're not in that system, their first line of response is to call the cities, call 911. And that's been a huge burden on our budgets. It's horrible.
So the Medicaid expansion would be good for Mesa?
Well, I think it would be good for us as a budgetary thing. I think the Medicaid expansion, of course, is not really about Medicaid expansion. It's a referendum, at least in some people, on Obamacare. And regardless of what happens on the national level, cities respond. We have to show up when someone dials 911. I'm hoping that we fix the system so that people will get into their doctor, they get into a system that pays and that is structured, and that was what would relieve cities. Whether we do that through Medicaid expansion or some other program, I am for anything that can deliver medical services in this country in an effective and cost-effective manner, and right now we do not have that system.
It's 12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Mesa Mayor Scott Smith. He's the 71st president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. To the Buckmaster Show live line, one of our callers, Matthew, has a question for you, Mayor. Go ahead, Matthew.
Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you've seen the recent news, but apparently the California legislature has sent a bill raising the California minimum wage apparently to $10. I believe it was California. And do you think that, you know, that they're setting, as usual, another, trend that, states need to start acting on the minimum wage because the populations, whether it be New York or California, can no longer afford to live under the federal minimum wage?
You know, minimum wage, as somebody who was in business all my life before I ran for mayor, which is my first elected office, I can tell you that minimum wage is sort of a double-edged sword. It would be nice if we could pay living wages and people could have jobs that would enable them to do what they want economically. The economic reality, though, is that businesses have to make money in order to survive. They have to be profitable, and they can only sell their goods and services for what the market allows them to do that. As somebody who, for example, owned a restaurant, I dealt with labor costs, and that was as a percentage of my revenue. Now, that labor cost could be spread over 5 employees or 15 employees. So it didn't matter what the minimum wage was set at or not at. I couldn't exceed that cost and still remain profitable. And I think what happens a lot of times in minimum wage is the assumption that, number one, it's a cure-all, which it isn't. It's a much more complex situation. Because what you'll find is that when they raise the minimum wage while I own my restaurant, I tried to raise prices, and if I could, I kept on the same number of employees. If I couldn't, I simply reduced the number of employees. So the employees I had were earning more, but I had fewer employees. Minimum wage is not as much of a cure-all as people think it is. It's more complex. I think at some level we settle into it. I'm more worried about the disappearing middle class and about the loss of what were traditional manufacturing jobs and service jobs. And the one thing that's happened as we've gone to automation is a lot of those mid-level, middle-class jobs simply don't exist anymore. That worries me more than minimum wages or things, because I think that has more of a long-lasting impact on the economic health of our cities and the economic opportunities of our citizens. And we've got to do something educationally and economic development-wise to bring back the kind of advanced manufacturing and advanced economic activities that America is so great at. And that's what mayors are looking at.
Okay, Mayor, we're going to take a break right here. But what kind of restaurant, what kind of food were you serving? What kind of?
I've had pizza restaurants. I had a fast food restaurant in the mall, too.
Oh, okay.
It was good food, all of it, of course.
Really, very good food. All right. Mesa Mayor Scott Smith is our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Linda Valdez of the Republic and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star with me in studio. We will be right back with Mayor Smith.
Business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:19 on this Friday afternoon. The mayor of Mesa is Scott Smith. He is with us. He is recently installed as the 71st president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. With me in studio, Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. And here is Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star.
I wanted to get your thoughts on something that you've been sort of the subject of, people talking about whether or not you are going to run for the governorship in Arizona. You're a Republican. You're very well regarded. You're obviously someone in a leadership position among other mayors. So are you going to run?
Gee, I hadn't heard that before. I'm going to give you the answer that I've given for everyone. I don't know. I did not get into politics to really make it a career. Boy, you've never heard that before, have you?
That was brand new.
Yeah, it is. Just made that up. But really, I ran for mayor of Mesa not as a launching pad. I figured that anyone who's trying to use the mayor of Mesa as a launching pad for anything other than retirement is needs to have their head examined. But I think we've had some great success here in this city, and I think it's and I've been flattered by the fact that people have seen that and have wondered if whether that's something we can take statewide. I have a love for this state. I grew up in Tucson. I don't know if you knew that. So I understand Southern Arizona, and I've been all around this state, and I want it. I think there are missed opportunities in this state that are just incredible. Whether I'm the person right at this time to help move us forward, I don't know. I'm going to take the next few months and do what I can as president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, first of all, to advance the cause of Arizona back in Washington and on a national platform. And do what I can as Mayor Mason. If that leads to a decision in the next 3 or 4 months, I might do that. But I truly have not decided yet.
Lost opportunities. You want to elaborate quickly on that, Mayor?
Arizona is just we spin our wheels a lot. Whether it be immigration and what that's done for us, and who knows what that has cost us. The debate over immigration and how it's played out, and how we still have a broken system that is costing not only Arizona but this country billions of dollars in costs that we don't even really recognize, not to mention the human costs and the political costs. But the other thing is Arizona really doesn't have a strategy for how they grow. When I was growing up, and anyone who grew up in Arizona had the five C's just hammered into them, and what those did is that they really defined who we were. You could, through looking at the five C's, understand the economy of Arizona, the history of Arizona, the politics of Arizona. My guess is I don't know what the five C's are now, and we don't really have that kind of vision. The fact that we are not truly utilizing the combined assets of Southern Arizona, Central Arizona, ASU, University of Arizona, the great assets that we've spent so much time in parochial efforts and really trying to avoid each other as opposed to working together, we can't afford to do that anymore. We're in a world economy. We're not in a Tucson economy or Phoenix economy. We're in a world economy, and Arizona is not the kind of player that we can be. You look just south and see the lost opportunity we have in Mexico. Look and see how Texas has taken that opportunity they have, has built on the relationships with Mexico to create an economic juggernaut that's, for a lot of ways, has passed us by. We still get a good amount of trade with Mexico, but not anything like we could get.
All
These
right.
are things I think this state needs to work on.
Linda, before we go back to you, Shirley's been waiting a long time on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, has a question about Medicaid expansion. Go ahead, Shirley.
Oh, hello, Mayor Smith. It's a pleasure to speak with you. Very interesting
you.
To get your ideas about Arizona. My question is, as Mr. Buckmaster said, that it's about Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. Now, I have heard that for the past 10 years in New Jersey, that they have had an arrangement whereby the doctors would contribute 4 hours free of their work every week, and in return, the state would pick up their insurance that might come against them for malpractice. And evidently, it's working very well.
Okay, what do you think of that, Mayor?
I'm a type that loves to borrow and steal good ideas from anybody, and I like to look at other people who have had problems and avoid their pratfalls. If there's a program like that would help, as I said, spread medical coverage and create a better delivery system, I'm all for it. And if that's something that's worked in New Jersey, I think we ought to look at all things. The reality is, if you look at Access, when Access was put together in Arizona, it was the example. And I think it's proven itself over many years as being the most efficient, one of the most efficient, if not the most efficient, way to deliver indigent health care in this country. Arizona has been the leader for a long time. We've sort of gotten sidetracked with this whole debate and brought Obamacare into it, and really we need to focus back on what Arizona's done great, and we have been a leader in that delivery system.
Okay, here is Linda Valdez of the Republic.
Mayor, the last time I saw you, I was in your city, and we were at a forum about immigration with John McCain and Jeff Flake, and it looked difficult at that point to get comprehensive reform through the House. It looks even more difficult now. What do you think the prospects are, and what is your best argument to try and sway the Republican members of this congressional delegation to support comprehensive immigration reform?
It seems like with Syria and the other distractions that certainly time is not on our side if you're looking to fix the system. The best argument is that however you feel about the immigration system, I think everyone can agree that it's broken. It's broken on both ends. It's broken on the end of low-skilled. It's broken on the end of high-skilled. It's broken on how we bring people in, how we keep people out that we would like to bring in. And so the status quo is not acceptable. Regardless of what we do, and whether you like something in the Senate bill or hate something, and that's pure political compromise. There's something for everyone to hate and everyone to dislike in that bill. We have to do something because maintaining the status quo makes a bad system worse, costs us socially, culturally, politically, and economically. And so the best argument is, listen, and this is the argument I use, and a lot of mayors and the U.S. Conference of Mayors is using with, mainly our Republicans in the House, is, listen, whatever you do, please do something. Pass some laws. Let's get through. We're assuming that the process will create compromise, that it will create a system that's at least better than what we have now. Because if we don't pass anything now, I'm afraid to think what it might be 1 or 2 or 3 years down the road.
Mayor, I know you've been working with Jonathan Rothschild here in Tucson to try to improve trade with Mexico. You want to give us a quick comment about that?
Well, I was just in Mexico City last week meeting with the foreign ministry. I know Mayor Rothschild's been down there on a number of occasions, and our idea is twofold. First of all, we want to go down to Mexico and let them know that they have friends in Arizona. Regardless of what they've heard, regardless of what their perception is, we have a long history with Mexico. I mean, you know, hundreds of years, for heaven's sakes. Mexico is not only part of our culture, it's part of our social structure, and it is a major, major part of our economic structure. And that's our first thing. When I go down there, it's hard to have a discussion with many people because the events of the last few years have certainly tainted our reputation. A lot of our efforts right now is just to go down and say, listen, we want you, we need you. And then to build relationships and talk about joint issues such as borders. We both recognize that the border crossings in Nogales, Douglas, San Luis are inadequate. We both realize that waiting 3 to 6 to 8 hours plus hours for trucks to pass is unacceptable, and it hurts us on both sides. So we're trying to find areas of mutual agreement that are commerce related that we can then take to our respective congresses to say, listen, it doesn't matter how you feel about immigration or this or that. We have a problem that's costing us money, and when we cost us money, we don't create the kind of jobs we need. And that's the approach we've taken.
Sarah, do you have a quick final question?
Well, this is just sort of a silly question, but I wanted to know, when you're at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, does everyone call everyone else mayor? Like,
it's funny when someone yells mayor, you can imagine the entire room turns their heads. But it's easy; you remember everyone's first name.
Good point.
So, Mayor, getting back to you said a decision would be coming within a couple of months. Have you on the gubernatorial situation? Have you formed an exploratory committee, or will that be if you do decide? Is that a step you don't need to take, or how does that work?
Well, based on the new law, I don't think it technically has to be an exploratory committee, but certainly if I move to the point where I'm going to get really more serious than I am now, I'll form a committee to actually start looking around. But once again, I have a great opportunity as president of U.S. Conference of Mayors that I want to take full advantage of, and that trumps any gubernatorial run. For example, tomorrow or next Tuesday, I'm going to have a one-on-one meeting with Gina McCarthy, the new administrator of the EPA. I hope to use that opportunity to talk about issues in Arizona and you know advance our issues. On Thursday, I get to attend the president's export council as a member of that, with the chairman of Boeing as the chair. You know, these are great opportunities to hopefully tell a story about Arizona that I think the nation needs to hear.
Okay,
and that is that we're a great state, and I'm going to maximize that, and the gubernatorial question will come later.
All right, Mayor Smith, thank you very much for being with us. You'll be on an airplane a lot over the next
year. I am. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. Scott Smith, Mayor of Mesa. We will continue with our Friday Reporters Roundtable. That's coming up after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:33. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are contributors to our program. We thank them for being so. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, Tucson-based, and I've started putting that in my intro for you because some people say, well, she lives up in Phoenix. No, you've lived in Tucson since
64, except for 2 years that we moved to Phoenix. So, yes, I am definitely Tucson-based.
So, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, perhaps you will hear something that Linda or Sarah or myself,
even you,
yeah, might say that you would like to take issue with us. That's fine. We'd like to hear from you. We welcome all and any opinions here on the show, 790-2040. Been an interesting week for news. Sarah, today's the day that many laws take effect in Arizona, and I guess it has to do with 90 days from, seems like long time ago, longer than that,
yes,
that the legislature adjourns, so then these laws go in effect.
Right. And they all kind of go, there's a whole big glob of them, like 200 and something, and they all go into effect at the same time, and they cover everything from which service animals you can bring into public places like grocery stores or restaurants.
Can't take your ferret with you into a restaurant.
No, you can only take...
And being a supporter of small animals,
yes,
that must be very hurtful for you.
Well, I have actually never really been that acquainted with a ferret.
Oh, okay.
But
I know you do.
I do enjoy
love small animals.
Yes, I do. Yes. And people, people go, oh, you know, why would you need a ferret with you? But people do use service animals for all sorts of different reasons. They can be for psychological, you know, if you have anxiety, they can be helpful in different ways that may not be immediately obvious. Mm-hmm. Like maybe if you're visually impaired and you have a seeing eye dog. So I sort of got sidetracked with ferrets.
But anyway, a lot of new laws went into effect. And Linda, the Medicaid expansion, the effort to let the voters decide that referendum drive failed, not enough signatures. So that law does not take effect today. That takes effect first of the year, right? The
Medicaid
expansion. Yeah. But anyway, as advertised, the Goldwater Institute, it had been rumored that they would step in if the referendum drive did fail as far as signatures.
That is correct, yeah.
So they did step in and filed a lawsuit in Maricopa County Superior Court. The plaintiffs arguing that the recent expansion of the Medicaid program led by Governor Brewer violated Prop 108, which I guess was a constitutional protection passed by Arizona voters in 1992 to require a two-thirds majority of legislators whenever levying a tax increase. So, in effect, the Goldwater Institute is suing, saying that this Medicaid expansion is a tax.
Well, there is an assessment in there. This was a source of dispute while the legislation was going through the legislature. There is an assessment on hospitals that is being used to bring in the federal match. It's the reason that this is not going to cost Arizona anything. In fact, it's going to add $100 million to the general fund. The governor calls this an assessment. It is going to be determined and levied by the head of Access. And Goldwater Institute and others claim that, no, it's not. It's a tax. And you had to have the two-thirds majority in order to get that passed. That's one of the things they're claiming in the lawsuit. The other thing they're claiming is that the legislature ceded too much power to the executive branch by allowing this agency to administer the assessment, which the governor's office says there in at least 80 other cases, agencies have been given that authority. So, but yes, the Goldwater Institute is trying to stop several hundred thousand people from getting health care, which I would say is quite an obscene thing for them to do and rather offensive.
And you put that in your blog.
I did. I said
you
that.
Said
yes,
obscene.
I did say
and
it was.
You said it was obscene.
I said it was obscene in the name of ideological purity. And that's what they claim, that they must be pure to the Constitution. And I think it's very.
Their interpretation.
Shame. Their interpretation of the Constitution, yes. So this one will be fought out in court. Yes, it will be fought out in court.
And this will go to the Arizona Supreme Court eventually, or what's your thinking?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I guess we'll have to see how it works through. There was some discussion about who was going to have standing to bring mm-hmm. the suit. The hospitals obviously would have had standing because the assessment affects them directly, but they didn't want to because they've been supportive of this from the beginning. The expansion helps them out a great deal because they will no longer have so many cases of uncompensated care. So what the Goldwater settled on was bringing suit on behalf of the legislators that voted against the expansion.
Yeah, 36 Arizona
right.
lawmakers.
So I guess that may be the first thing that has to be decided is whether they actually have standing to sue. If they don't, then it might end there.
And guess what, Sarah? It's going to be in the Republican primary. This will be the issue, won't it?
Yes. I think if for no other reason that it's immediately identifiable and it seems to get people all riled up, even if they don't know anything about the details of, I mean, people, when the petitions were being passed to try to get it on the ballot to put it in front of voters, the Medicaid expansion, which would have had they even just gotten enough signatures, which would have suspended the implementation January 1st, so people would have not been able to get health insurance or health care coverage. And I talked to several people who said, oh, I had no idea that's what it was because the sign said stop Obamacare, all that sort of code words, and saying I had no idea that's what it was for, and I wouldn't have signed it had I known. So fortunately, they didn't get enough signatures to get that on the ballot. Now we have this court case looming, and you're absolutely right that it will be a hot button issue mm-hmm. in the gubernatorial primary, if for no other reason that it drums up interest.
790-2040, 790-2040. Perhaps you disagree with Linda and Sarah. Linda going so far as calling this effort by the Goldwater Institute obscene. One issue, the referendum stopping changes in new election laws, that looks like they've got plenty of signatures. that will be on the ballot in 2014.
Well, the signatures still have to be verified. They got in excess of 146,000, and they needed 86,000 some. So it would appear that that will be on the ballot, and that those changes to the election
law
will be on
hold. Can you summarize what those changes
would
be? Well,
they changed early voting lists so that people's names would be purged if they didn't vote in early voting. It also made changes in the initiative process that makes it more difficult to get things on the ballot, and it affected who can pick up and turn in ballots. A lot of people feel that this is part of actually a nationwide effort by Republicans to lower the turnout among minority votes. Some of the things that they particularly targeted were strategies that have been used in recent years to increase minority voting in Arizona and other places. So that's a pretty legitimate complaint against that. Those laws, there really seems to be no reason to limit people's ability to vote, and there has been no real evidence of voter fraud. So, right. Yes, this will be, if the signatures are valid, it'll be on the ballot.
And go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I was just going to say it's one of these cases where you have to be very, very, very careful that you understand not only what the title and the language is of the item on the ballot, but what it would actually do. Mm-hmm. Because it's really easy, I think, to go, oh, well, yeah, we want to improve election laws, and think you're doing one thing when in reality you would be doing something else.
And, of course, that leads me to we've been talking about signatures. It looks like the pension initiative, which was generating a lot of attention. Many people, I don't think, really understood what was at stake with this pension initiative in the city of Tucson. But it looks like it will not be on the ballot. After all, there was an issue with the signatures. So I think that the other side has until Monday to try to get this before the Arizona Supreme Court. That seems unlikely. So this probably, Sarah, will not be on the ballot.
Yeah, that is the case. And it's one of the petitions and initiatives are all – anything that you need to gather signatures for is always sort of a tricky business, because one of the reasons that it's difficult, I think, to get people involved is in petitions and all worked up about issues on the ballot that aren't necessarily candidates is because they're hard to understand sometimes, and just logistically you have to usually hire people to go stand in front of the supermarket, gather signatures, and you have to make sure that people aren't signing like Minnie Mouse. And so all those signatures have to be verified. It's a big process, and I think that's one of the things that people don't always understand.
An issue that, well, this study actually just came out today. It was in the Arizona Republic. Linda, I'm sure you saw this, that Arizona, since the 2008 downturn in the economy, school funding, we're now third in the total number of per pupil funding cuts, as much as over 17% per pupil since fiscal year 2008.
Well, I could put the happy face on and say that's an improvement. We were number one in cuts, but it certainly shows that Arizona has not shown a commitment to education. The cuts have been severe, and there was a small amount put back in this year. But if the state really wants a good education system, they're going to have to fund it. Now, the question is whether the state wants a good public education system. There's been such a push for so many years for vouchers and to move away from really supporting the traditional public schools. It's not a good sign for Arizona's future. To have a reputation as the state that does not support education is not going to help economic development.
It certainly won't, and that's one thing that economic developers always point to. They say that we must have an educated workforce.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that Mayor Scott Smith of Mesa earlier in the program was talking about, that as far as Arizona's reputation nationally and what we're known for, being known for being cheap in public education is not a good reputation to have.
I was disappointed, Sarah, that the city council voted unanimously on Tuesday, there will not be putting, at least at this point, $150,000 into existing animal control contract with the county to pay for an increase in spay and neuter program. That spay and neuter program is really at the heart of trying to get a handle on this huge companion animal homeless problem in our community.
Yes, and the Humane Society of Southern Arizona and Pima Animal Care Center are both packed to the gills with animals that have been found or turned over and need homes. Things are really pretty desperate, and so the answer is spay and neuter your pets, and it is unfortunate that the city council did not underline that with dollars at this point.
And for those who are looking to adopt an animal this month, there's some great opportunity of animals over the age of five. Basically, at Pima Animal Care Center, Sarah, $15 is about all it's going to cost you, and you get an animal.
That is great. And I know people want puppies and kittens, and they're so cute, but there is something to be said for, and we've taken in dogs that have been that are adults. There's something to be said about, you know, someone else doing the housebreaking and the house training and all of that. So please give these adult animals a chance. That they're just as loving and just as deserving of a home as is a puppy or a kitten.
How about your dog?
My dog is going to celebrate her 15th year
on
Halloween. We're pondering a quinceañera for her.
Oh, that is great. Is she going to get her learner's permit to drive?
I don't know if she's mature enough for that.
Is she all black?
No, she's a beagle.
Oh, okay.
She's a beagle. She's a brown and white.
Well, the reason I say is she all black, that black pets get kind of a bad rap. But today is Friday the 13th, and our friends Rhonda Bodfield at the county and at Pima Animal Care Center are very pleased that we will be announcing that today is a special day at Pima Animal Care Center for black animals.
Yes, they
black
will be.
Black pets.
They will be.
They get basically it's almost free.
Free.
Isn't it? Yeah.
There's a whole lot of superstition and all the rest around not only Friday the 13th, but black cats. And why not combine the two and turn it into a good publicity for going out and adopting an animal?
Okay, Sarah, we're going to have to wrap it up. But I know you take pride, and you should, and you do a column every Thursday, and that was an interesting piece about prostitution. Many people say, oh, prostitution, that's a victimless crime.
It is absolutely not a victimless crime. I was there to see some. There's this great community outreach, Project Raise, where they bring in men and women who have been arrested for prostitution by Tucson police, and if they qualify in terms of not having violent criminal histories, mm-hmm. other things, bring them to a church, use the rec room, and offer them social services and a diversion program. And anyone who says it's a victimless crime just does not understand.
Well, I suggest folks go online to AZStarNet, look up Sarah's column for Thursday. It's real easy to access, really, the stories over the last 7 days, real easy
yes.
to access on the website. Linda Valdez, good to see you. Thank
good
you very
to see
much.
You.
All right. Hope Linda and Sarah, hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL, and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
That music signals the weekend here on the Buckmaster Show. The Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Big weekend. It's getting underway today, running through the weekend. Pick-a-mania, like a guitar pick. They've got all sorts of great free music. It's like folk, Americana, you name it, they've got it over in Silver City this weekend, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of great places to stay, including Bear Paw Ranch and Lake Roberts Motel. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And now, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, and dedicated foodie who is always in search of a good meal, that is Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Now, we're going to be flirting with 100 degrees again this weekend. I tell you, Silver City just sounds too good to be true.
You better believe it. Not only is it just three and a half hours east of Tucson, but we're talking, think of Denver, that kind of elevation, mile high up to about 7,000 feet. They've had great rain over there, the Gila Wilderness, nice and green. What a great weekend, and to go over there and hear a lot of great music as well.
Just spectacular.
All right, in town, we are always ready for pizza.
Yeah, you know, for the last several weeks, the Arizona Daily Star has been promoting a March Madness-style tournament to see who Southern Arizonans think makes the best pizza in town. And in the final round just this week, the last one standing after thousands of votes were cast, Bill, was none other than Grandma Tony's Pizza. Mm. So I say what better time than this weekend to join in their celebration and grab some now award-winning pizza. Now, I like their bacon and anchovy pizza, but that's just me. Head over to one of their two locations this weekend and create one for yourself.
Of course, my choice always is Vero Amore Pizza. Probably we'll doing a Vero Amore Pizza tonight, and I always recommend Vero Amore Pizza. How about some tailgating this weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, with the recent word that the University of Arizona is imposing certain restrictions on football game tailgaters this year, including the outright prohibition of charcoal grills, I say let someone else do the cooking. And one of the most delicious options I've come across is the Blanco Bundle from Blanco Tacos and Tequila. Now, this mobile fiesta for the tailgater to go includes chicken and beef tacos, and chopped salad and chipped salsa, rice beans, the whole thing, in custom packages for 10, 15, even up to 20 people. They make it as easy as possible. All you got to do is give them a call in advance, pick it up, and head down to the mall. The number to call, 232-1007, for what I'm now calling the Blanco Bear Down Bundle.
And you're a guy that knows about tacos. I mean, you've gone all over the country to judge taco eating contests, so you've
I have. Love Blanco.
How about Kingfisher? A lot of people enjoy that for a special occasion, and just enjoy a nice evening out.
Yeah, you know, Bill, it's hard to believe that Kingfisher is celebrating their 20th anniversary this month, and they've decided to celebrate with throwback menu items and prices. So now through September 20th, Chef Jim Murphy and his team are going to be rotating three different items from their original menu back in 1993 with the original prices, and then donate 20% of the sales to the community food bank. So consider joining Kingfisher this weekend. 20th anniversary, enjoy some great dishes at bargain prices, and help a great local charity all the while.
How about the current column in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, there's a distiller in town who's using mesquite wood to smoke his whiskey. I can't believe it. You got to get a copy of Inside Tucson Business to read all the delicious
things. Hey, Matt, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Cheers, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Culligan, better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. And we thank Culligan. They supply the nice chilled bottles of Culligan to all of our in-studio guests on the Buckmaster Show. And everyone here at KVOI also enjoys that Culligan water as well. This afternoon, it's John C. Scott from 3 to 5 right here in this very studio at AM 1030 KVOI. Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe comes at you 6 to 8 on Monday. And then the expert talk starts with Phil Cedar. Tomorrow morning, Phil's program on gardening begins the expert weekend talk at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of our team, the lovely and talented, oh my goodness, she is so good at what she does, Rosemary Brandt. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.